Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And we used to have a song pasted in the back of our old songbooks. I think we need to get around to put it in here, too. But if you remember any of the words of this song, you go ahead and join me as I say, I just want to thank you, Lord. For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for flowers that bloom, roses so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings. It makes sweet melody for rivers that flow.
Thank you, Lord. choir up here more often, praise the Lord, but I like that song, Hallelujah. Let's open a Thanksgiving message. It's going on across the screen there, so if any of it I don't get to, it's ahead of me, I think. But I appreciate again that we can celebrate this week and just put some emphasis on Thanksgiving and the importance of that in our lives. In everything, give thanks. I mentioned that earlier. Let's open our Bibles to two places today. Let's look at Romans and chapter 1 and look what happens when we don't give thanks. And then Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to look for a glimpse again at what happens when we do give thanks. Romans chapter 1 and then Hebrews in chapter 13. And appreciate again the ability to give thanks. I just almost pause here and ask again everyone to give something that they're thankful for, and repeats are not allowed, but we're thankful for so many things. And I trust on the heart of everybody here that the first and foremost thing that we're thankful for is for our salvation. Even before our spouse. Careful now. Yep. Even before our spouse. Your spouse would be your spouse if you hadn't been saved. He'd be probably gone off someplace. And so praise the Lord for God's goodness. Praise the Lord for our thankful hearts today. Let's look at Romans chapter 1 first, get the negative side done. And notice here in Romans chapter 1, we're given a lot of information. It gives the theme of the book of Romans, as I preached before, for I am not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel of Christ. So look down with me at verse 21, and there's a staircase there that takes us down and away from God. And this staircase is what mankind has gone on. This staircase is what the America has gone on. This staircase that leads away from God ends with man having a reprobate heart at the bottom of this staircase. And I want just to look at the first two steps of this staircase, down and away from the knowledge of God, down and away from knowing God. And that's given in verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So at the top of the stairs is the fact that man knows God. That's given here in defense in the previous verses, that man is without excuse, that man knows that there is a God, and man knows in his heart, in his soul, he knows that, again, that they're accountable to God and that they're falling short. Those things man knows. And in their deepest heart. Now, we, again, educate people to be atheists. There's no atheist that comes from natural causes. The Bible says God doesn't believe in atheists. But again, as we train people and teach people how to answer and what to say, eventually they can give all the answers of Robert Ingersoll and say, yeah, I'm an atheist. But again, there's no real such thing as an atheist. Everyone in their heart, the Bible says, knows that there is a God. Bible says that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shined in every heart. In every heart. Bible says that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 1, shined into every heart. There's no darkest jungles of Amazon where someone's never heard the gospel. God shined into their heart. There's no darkest jungles of Chicago where people have never heard the gospel. God shined into their heart. And here's the steps away from God. With that said, let me go ahead and clarify this portion of that, and that is, you as a Christian can take the same steps and start moving away from God. You'll never hit the step down there where it says your heart was darkened, because God's always got a light in your soul. If you're saved, if you're a born-again Christian, that light is always there forever. He said so. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. However, you can take those first couple steps down and be away from God. Notice what they are again. Step 1, glorify Him not as God. Number 2, we're not thankful. Let's look over at Hebrews chapter 13. And again, as we open our Bible into Hebrews 13, that was a verse again that I had begun this message with as well. And so look with me at Hebrews chapter 13. and I'll get this. Yes, I think I got that on the first Thanksgiving message up here. Hebrews in chapter 13, look with me at verse 15. There's a whole bunch I'd like to teach out of Hebrews 13. It's kind of a conclusion. It's a letter to the, who suppose it's a letter to? The Hebrews, again. And so, again, it's a clarification that Christ is all in all. And notice how it closes here, starting in verse 13. Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp. Again, understand this. If you're going to be a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be outside the camp. The Bible says that it's a straight way and it's a narrow gate that gets you into everlasting life. And no matter what we say or do, it's a narrow gate. The majority is never going to be for it. Listen, the majority is never going to be right. And so we're big deal around here in America. And the majority is always right. No, the majority is not always right. In fact, the majority in the Bible is always wrong. It's only just a very few people that get the truth. And if you're one of those, praise his holy name that you know the truth. And so here we got to be outside the camp. I like this. Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Even in the letter from Spirit Sarah Pauli there that I read, you notice that his name is reproached all over the world. They hate the gospel. America, again, despises the gospel. Even all of Christianity and set its foes against it. And so bearing his reproach, verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's where that song come out, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Look at verse 15. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's despite all the things that we just read, how we're going to be a tiny remnant, how again everything's going to be pitted against us, and we're going to have the reproach of Christ living in our lives. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Father, praise you and thank you for Thanksgiving. Thank you again that it can change our body chemistry and make us again a different person. Thank you that it can change our attitude. Thank you that it can change our life. Thank you, Father, that it can change our week. And so we'd ask that it would this week, especially, Father, as we would walk through what used to be a national day of thanksgiving to Jehovah God on high. And Father, we praise you for that history. No, it's becoming something different than that today, but I thank you and praise you that we still live in a nation that will have a national day of thanksgiving. Father, may we use it to its utmost again to lift up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, and Father, to be ever thankful in our heart and life. Thank you for the message today from your word here that, again, it's a sacrifice to give thanks. But it's our joy to praise your name and lift up with thanksgiving all that you've done for us. Father, pray that you touch hearts even with your words today and cause again that this week would be set apart a little different even because of this message from your word and hearts filled with thanks. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So as we pick up this message again, let's just flip through some verses in the Bible again that I've not preached for one of these devices, and usually my battery dies halfway through a message because I preached too long, but let's go ahead and look through some things again on Thanksgiving. And again, the first again is that verse right there about the sacrifice of Thanksgiving. Presidential proclamation, Thanksgiving proclamations are the rule of the day. I wanted to go ahead and look up Donald Trump's presidential Thanksgiving I've been watching them go by through all of our presidents for the past several years. Some of them are pretty discouraging. Well, Bill Clinton said, give thanks to the deity of your choice, again, and I still remember that one. But again, as we look at Thanksgiving proclamations, one stands out in our mind more clearly, I think, and that is President Lincoln's. And let me just read some words out of that. In the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assurance hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. And so as we look at that proclamation, again, I like that introduction and I like that beginning. Let me see if I can get you reading the same page here again. Not in the hymnal. It's in Thanksgiving. And as we consider this proclamation, I love this because it talks about our Redeemer. It talks about our Savior. And again, that's a rare but good thing as we consider these things. And so, this proclamation continues. It has second paragraph that says, we know that by his divine law, nations, like individuals, are subject to punishments and chastisements in their world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end, or our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those that are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. What a tremendous, again, indictment even upon America today that we have forgotten God and we need a national day of thanksgiving. Some verses, again, that go right along with that. Lamentations, the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The psalmist says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Bible says in James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Matthew, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, the psalmist, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Peter says, as every man that receiveth the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Holidays in our lives bring a chance for us to break our routines, I suppose. Thanksgiving is one of those, again, where we gather, we used to gather with family again. I was amazed at the restrictions they're trying to put in your homes. Several states have said they're going to cite people and fine them for gathering people in their homes. This is America, I thought. This was America, anyway. And when you consider that, several states also said that it's forbidden for you to sing in your homes. And if they catch you singing in their homes, they're going to fine you. My land sakes. That's why I said the news was still pretty depressing this week as you look at some of the things that's going on. And so I'd encourage you again to sing in your homes this Thanksgiving. And I won't say much about whether you gather or not, but again, it's not the government who's supposed to watch out for your protection. It's God who watches for your protection. So look to Him and do what's common sense. But anyway, Thanksgiving Day here is for all these years been a time when we gather with family, when we again express our thankfulness to God, and when we again just lift up our thanks to our everlasting Father. And I want to make sure that we do that again this year. The first Thanksgiving, again, it's recorded the first Thanksgiving was observed in 1621 by pilgrims and Indians in Plymouth Colony in Massachusetts. It was decreed by Governor William Bradford, and it was a day of feasting and expression of gratitude for the harvest. George Washington issued the first National Proclamation of Thanksgiving in 1879, and it's been customary for presidents to issue a National Day of Thanksgiving proclamation. And it's curious to watch them change over the years. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln made it a national holiday and fixed the day at the last Thursday in November. Congress in 1941 set it as a fourth Thursday. A turkey, again, is a native bird in America, and I saw a whole flock of them cross the road in front of me. I swerved, but I didn't hit any of them. Praise the Lord. So today we're just going to ask some questions and look for answers. What are you thankful for? And I want to stir your hearts with six questions. Who, what, when, where, why? And lastly, how? Again, so those are the six questions we're asked to write about when we're writing in literature. And so let's go ahead and look at some of those things. Let's be thankful for who you are. Be thankful for the family you were born in. Be thankful again that you are you. For thou hast possessed my reins, the psalmist says. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Again, let me emphasize for the sake of our liberal Democrats that a soul is given to an individual in the womb. And that individual becomes an individual in the womb. And so again, at conception is where humans become human, and different than animals, and different than anything else. And so again, notice that that's one of the earliest things that mankind, in its national folly, has moved away from that teaching from God's Word. They moved away from many other things, but again, that's one of the first. Watch how these verses emphasize that God knew you in the womb. And he knew you as a worm, too, again. Where the worm dieth not, it says there, Luke. So, again, Psalms 139 says this, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Psalms 58, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Psalms 127, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Jeremiah picks it up and says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Understand that God made you what you are. And again, that's important and exciting. Number two, be thankful for what you are. Be thankful for what God enabled you to become. Not so much what you got. Lots of times we're thankful that I got this and I got that and things again. But let's be thankful again on a higher level, even through this Thanksgiving season. Thank you for what we have and what we are. Again, there's several verses that mention Thanksgiving. Let's look at a couple. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Think about that word for a minute. Thanksgiving. Is that a noun? Is that a verb? Is that an adjective? Yes, yes, and yes. Okay. So thanksgiving is something that we should do as a verb. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 69 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall praise the Lord. Notice all caps in that verse, again indicating the personal name of God. This also shall please the Lord, but better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad. And your heart shall live that seek God. Be thankful for when you were born. Praise the Lord. I've quoted often, I should have wrote this in Chinese, may you live in interesting times, an old Chinese curse is what that is. And here we are, we're living in interesting times. Think of the conveniences that we have at our disposal. I got a cart that I load up with gravel and take it and dump it into a sidewalk I'm building. And I filled it one time with a shovel and I thought, man, this is awful. And so I took that farm wall tractor again and I got so I could scoop up a load of gravel and dump it in there. And I thought, this is fun. So suddenly in our society, work again is not what it used to be. And I put down here again that your grandpa had more work in his little finger than you have in your whole body. And so think again of all that we do have and the conveniences, the time that we live in. Think about where you were born and be thankful. One nation under God, we just said that in our pledge. Again, born in America. Notice again that you could have been born in China. You could have been born in Russia, France. You could have been born in Hong Kong, the Sudan, Yemen, or I can't even pronounce the last one here. But again, understand that here we are in America. Again, I'd like to point out some of our history. And this one here is a Supreme Court decision of 1892. And it states, our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise, and in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. This is a religious people. This is historically true. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, that was in 1892, there is a single voice making this affirmation. We find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. These and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is a Christian nation. First president to deny that we were a Christian nation. Anybody know who that was?
Obama.
Barack Hussein Obama said, we are not a Christian nation. And they started again denying and changing our history and our history books. Woodrow Wilson stated that a nation which could not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do. We are trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been all about. So praise the Lord. Again, we are a Christian nation. We are on Christian foundation. We are on Christian roots. Praise the Lord that you were born in a nation where you could hear the gospel. I like to rehearse this ever since I put it together and said, you know, this is kind of the most important thing. We give thanks for our salvation. And boy, we ought to again have memorized the Romans road and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you could see the screen, or if you have these memorized, let's say them together out loud again and fill in the blanks where others forget the words again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Have you been passed from death unto life? If you have, you are eternally thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who did that for you. If you have not, then you're already under condemnation. I looked at that again, and there's a couple key words that's in there that is estranged from our language today and it needs to be brought back. One is that everybody needs to be saved. And the second is that everyone is under condemnation. Again, and that they can get out from under that condemnation. And they know, again, as I said in our introduction, they know that they're under condemnation. God says they're without excuse, and they know that there is a God, and they know again that they're coming up short in his judgment. And so then we have again, after that gospel message, the Romans road to heaven, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:12, and I've combined in here 18 as well. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. People need the Lord. People need salvation. Who, what, when, where, we're up to why again. Why you are here. I love this verse out of Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Ecclesiastes closes with, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so as we again consider the six different questions we do in literary writings, let's again consider, how are we going to do that? And Philippians chapter 4 should come to mind. Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. I know how both to be abased and to how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then the verse that we've all memorized, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I got several verses here that again recite that word thanksgiving and how it again rounds out our Thanksgiving time. I encourage you to look them up and to be one that is filled with thanksgiving. Let me at least close with the one here in Revelation chapter 7, kind of a closing of the thought in Revelation 7, saying amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Let's give it again to the Lord Jesus Christ and his might and what he's done for us. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you, Father, that we could again just have a time where we look at Thanksgiving. Help us now to step into it and do it all this week with a new fervor, with a new love for you. And Father, that you tug on our hearts in a special way. We love you. And we want to be a thankful people. Even with everything that's going on and the calamities we see even going on in some of our own lives. Father, especially in our nation. I pray again, Father, that you'd help our hearts to be thankful. And as we would give thanks, that you'd again touch our attitude, touch our soul winning, touch our witness of your Son. And we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for your hand on each one. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and see if we can remember the words of that chorus one more time. Let's stand and we'll dismiss with, I just want to thank the Lord. Let's go through the week with that song on our heart.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul.
You are dismissed, and let's wear a mask or maintain 6 feet distance or whatever we do. Again, be careful, be safe this week, and Lord bless you for worship.
I can see. I know we're going to have to wear these.